Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome to Film Fandango, the film podcast. I'm your host, David Reed, and joining me as ever is Mr. Marek Larwood. Hello, Marek.
I'm your host.
Yeah, sure. You're my host and I'm their host.
I am your host. Technically, you're the host. You're hosting me as well.
Yeah, well, that's true because this is my flat. Yeah.
So what, am I the wingman?
Yeah, you are the goose.
I am the guy who is there for sort of moderate amusement, but you never want him to have total control.
That's right. That's right. So who's another example of that?
Donald Duck.
Donald Duck, you do not want him to have total control. God, he'd be a nightmare. Do you remember Donald Duck's actually quite angry, isn't he? He was often quite furious.
Mm.
He's got terrible rages. Never wore trousers.
I mean, there's a lot in common with me and Donald Duck.
Yeah,
dresses up as a sailor.
That's right. Never wears trousers. Terrible rages.
I mean, that probably, if you were to say those three things, a lot of people would say my name.
That's right. That's right.
I'm Donald Duck's egg.
His son.
We're not here
to talk about Donald Duck. We're here to talk about films, and before we start in earnest, we should say that we are sponsored by Her Film Project, who are an organisation that promotes diversity in films. So if you're trying to get a film made or you're just interested in this topic, then please go to herfilmproject.com and follow Her Film Project.
Or if you suspect your parentage may be one or more animals.
I mean, we've all got at least one animal.
Yes, but one in very recent sort of four-legged animal in recent.
Is that even possible? I don't know what goes on the Isle of Wight, but
well, South Centaurs are made, weren't they?
yeah, probably at some point.
With the first centaur?
Mm.
Do you think it was the man who had sex with the horse or the horse who had sex with the lady?
Oh, it's so hard to tell.
It's not the chicken. For me, this is the chicken and the egg.
Yeah. I mean, what this conversation has done is I was just looking up the film I'm about to talk about on IMDb, and instead I wrote Lady Centaur. So that's not a film called that.
So if you are thinking of a film called Lady Centaur...
It's available.
Well, Her Film Project will be the perfect people to approach. You're a lady and half animal.
Would it always still be...
That must be the jackpot for the
funding. Centaur's an odd hybrid, right? Because it's half of one animal. Well, over half, like two-thirds of one animal.
And just the most...
Where the neck of the other animal would be. If you did that with any other animal, that would be really weird. Like, imagine a human's torso and head where a duck's neck is.
I mean,
the duck clearly couldn't support that weight.
In terms of percentages...
Just be crawling along with your human arms.
It should be a giraffe as the only one you could feasibly say that's half and half.
That's true. Yeah, that is right. Or a snake.
They did do...
A snake is just a neck, isn't it? It's a neck with a mouth.
What is the name of the monster which is... a snake's tail on a human, not Medusa, but isn't it? I suppose.
Which creature?
Half snake, half human.
Is that a thing?
What was Medusa? She was a...
She was a Gorgon.
So a Gorgon.
But she had snakes for hair.
But wasn't she... Didn't she have a tail as well, I thought?
I don't think so. I mean, it's possible in some versions, but... I mean, basically, because of video games, every possible monster has been imagined now of animals with different bits of animals on them.
Well, what did you go and see at the cinema?
I went to see Lady Macbeth. Now, this is not, as you'd imagine, the story of Lady Macbeth in the traditional sense. It is not... it is not the story of Shakespeare's Macbeth from the woman's perspective. This is based upon a novel of the same name, or similar name, actually. I'm trying to remember the name of the novel, but I'll look that up. It's Lady Macbeth of somewhere or other. And this is set in the 19th century in the north of England. So everyone has a Geordie accent. And it's about a woman, a young girl, being married into a slightly wealthy family in this big manor house in the middle of buttfuck nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And all the men are weird and, you know, slightly sort of... They've clearly never really had actual friendships or relationships with women at all. And she's stuck in this house and completely alone. And she slowly sort of... exacts her will upon this family in order to get her own way. So the parallels with Lady Macbeth
in the trailer, it looked as though she was a sort of victim, sort of.
Oh, she is at the beginning, absolutely.
Okay.
Yes, but that's what I mean. Like she is a possession, a toy, a doll at the beginning, and she slowly enacts her will on this family. You will recognise some of the actors in this, although. Probably only Christopher Fairbank, actually, who was it Alvida Zaynpet he was in, I think. He's in The Fifth Element and Guardians of the Galaxy and Alien 3. I mean, he's this guy, you'll recognize.
Yes, I recognize him.
Who is the father of the family. But it's really about the actress Florence Pugh in this, who plays Lady Macbeth. And she basically she finds her agency in by having an affair with a stable boy, and it spirals from there with the fallout of that, and then what she chooses to do, and blah blah blah. And she plays it brilliantly. Like, she is so good at you.
Is she new then, this Florence?
Well, she seems young, so I'd assume she's relatively new. I'm just looking her up. Yeah, she's got 7 credits on IMDb. She's in something called The Falling, and then she's got 2 TV credits and then this. So,
one to watch then?
Absolutely. I thought she was brilliant. And you knew it. Exactly what was going on at every moment, and you felt for her every step of the way, and that's what sucks you into the narrative of it. And there was something weirdly refreshing about the fact everybody had a Newcastle accent, so it wasn't "here comes a comedy Geordie." It just made it its own world.
Even the rich people.
Yeah, well, they're the only people she meets apart from a couple of servants, you know, and one of them is basically mute. Yeah, the rich people have regional accents, as they would have done, you know. It's a really good film. It's a really, really good film. If I had to pick a criticism, and I don't know why I always go here, but I always do, I don't feel the story quite... goes far enough in making itself something unique, but certainly the storytelling and the acting and the cinematography and the music, the sound in particular is excellent. It's brilliant. Like, it's a properly good independent film.
Oh, because I wasn't sure whether from the trailer, I thought, is it good or they just mishmashed this into something?
Yeah, well, the title does suggest, you know, it's just... here's the story of Macbeth, but from the woman's perspective, which...
I think that could put people off.
I think so, too. Because I feel like I've seen that film before, you know, where
I thought, is it I thought it was a rehash of, you know, taking Lady Macbeth's character, putting in a different...
Yes. You know, doing like they do with Shakespeare, setting it in a different time period, but it doesn't really matter. And, yeah, yeah.
It's an odd choice to have Lady Macbeth as such a huge, you know, well-known character as the title when it's not
Yeah, well, I'm trying relevant. It's based on a novel called Lady Macbeth of Mtsinsk District by Nikolai Leskov. And so it's clearly sort of inspired by the character of Lady Macbeth, whilst that, you know, it's a woman's eyes on a aristocratic family.
Is she a bit like that? Is she? Is there any?
Well, in that, you know, she uses her femininity in order to try and get her own way, and I won't tell you what happens from there. But it's not the story of Macbeth at all.
Is it? How would you classify this? Drama, period drama.
Definitely, but I think it's actually a psychological thriller.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it gets things get fucked up quite quickly, and as I say, it's a hypnotic watch. Everyone in it is brilliant. Ah, Florence Pugh was in a thing called The Falling. I've just recognised what The Falling is, which had Maisie Williams from Game of Thrones. But you may have seen that photo in.
Yeah, I can't stand Maisie Williams. She's one of the most annoying people in the history of time.
No, oh, God. Okay.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. No, the cinematography in Lady Macbeth and the sound, as I say, is absolutely brilliant. And I think you'd really like it, Marek. It's really good.
It does sound like a sort of film I should have gone to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I was pleasantly surprised. It was a total punt, just what's on. Not much at the moment, to be honest. I'll watch this.
Ah, well, I will try and catch that film.
Yeah.
I tell you what though.
What?
It's time for
Good.
Some people like writing letters, we like reading them out.
Here is a letter. This my lost letter. This is from Neil. And well, I'll read it out to you because occasionally we do lose your letters because our filing system is basically just marking them off on Gmail, and due to human error, things get lost.
Occasionally, don't they?
And we apologise to people. Anyway, Neil writes, "Hello. At the end of last week's episode," he's writing this on the 22nd of May, "you mentioned my iTunes review, criticising you for not reading my letter from 2015. Well, good news. I've managed to find it, so I've copied and pasted it here. I trust you'll do the right thing and read it out. Once I retract my review and change from a one star, once done, I will retract my review and change to a one star to the two stars it rightfully deserves. Keep watching the films." Here's my problem. You just lagged us off. You just lagged us off and called us arseholes on iTunes, and then you said you're going to give us two stars. We're still slagging you off.
Yeah, I mean, Neil, it seems like you want to lord it over us a bit, and we can't hold truck with that kind of behaviour.
Yeah, I'm not reading it.
So, yeah, we've put your letter in the bin again.
Get fucked, Neil. Can you write to someone and say, "Oh, yeah, by the way, I'm going to do a shit in your letterbox"?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, here's one from Jules. Let's see what he's
got. Oh, Jules, I love Jules. Jules is the best.
Go for it, Jules.
Okay. Jules says, "Hi, guys. In response to your lack of letters, I was having a session re-watching a couple of recent favourites this weekend, The Slow West and Bone Tomahawk. Both really strong films, but also ones that have, to a large extent, slipped under the radar. The same goes for probably my all-time favourite movie, Jim Jarmusch's Dead Man. Do you guys reckon that solely as a function of being Westerns, these are movies which are doomed to semi-obscurity? Technically, I guess it's a bit of an outmoded genre, but in all these cases, there's really mythic storytelling going on which can stand up against pretty much anything out there. Your thoughts? Are Westerns, or any other genre for that matter, doomed to fail simply because they are Westerns, regardless of content? Pity. There definitely seems to be some potential there. Keep watching them. All the best. Jules." Now, Slow West and Bone Tomahawk are two that I've talked about in the past. Bone Tomahawk, I think, is absolutely excellent. It's a brilliant character study Western that turns into a horror, and it's just got some great surprises, brilliant cast. It's thoroughly watchable and horrific. Slow West is a very small budget Western made by a British director, starring Michael Fassbender. And it's a quirky little odyssey film that has also has Mén Bendelsohn in it as well, who I grow fonder and fonder of with every film I see him in. I think he's excellent. Slow West is very good as well. It's well worth a watch. I know what Jules means about Westerns. I think genre movies generally don't really get the backing anymore because there's no guarantees.
I wonder whether...
Certainly I used to hate Westerns.
Yeah, our generation, so basically anyone from the ages, I think, of 30 to 50, probably the same experience, which has scarred my opinion of Westerns, which was the relentless Westerns on television.
Sunday mornings.
Yeah, the Bonanza, which I really hated.
Yeah, all of the John Wayne ones, which were so slow and dull and similar.
They churned them out, and they're all really shit.
The only good ones are, the Sergio Leone spaghetti Westerns, and there's about four good ones. And they are, for all that they're beautiful pieces of cinema, they're long and slow films. You've got to really be in the mood for them.
It just basically reminds me of going to school... waiting to go to school on a really depressing Sunday and watching something really boring, and it's so ingrained in my brain of having to suffer that for every Sunday for about 10 years.
I'm exactly the same.
I can't watch them.
Whenever I would looking through the channels on TV, I'd get to one and be like, oh god, not another one of these.
It fills me with this sort of depressed sort of dread.
Yeah, me too.
I think that must be the same for literally hundreds of people.
And yet, here are some Westerns that are genuinely great.
I've watched both of those, and they're both very enjoyable, particularly
Bone Tomahawk. Yeah. Is there another genre you think does that, or...?
I don't know whether it's...
I think sci-fi has turned off a lot of people... There were just plenty of people who will not watch a science fiction film.
I think sci-fi is quite a very wide sort of gamut, really, isn't it? It's because it doesn't have to be a space sci-fi.
It's not a very accurate term anymore.
Yeah.
There is, proper sci-fi, which is sort of basically futuristic, technology-based what-if scenarios, and space opera, which is no different to Lord of the Rings, basically, and there is a grey area in between. And those are two entirely different genres. One is actually, even though there's spaceships and technology, it's still basically wizards and monsters. Both decent genres in their own right, but very different. But it is just a thing that there are plenty of people who are just like, oh, that's for nerds. I'm not one of them. Well, I am one of the nerds, probably.
Musicals have managed to reinvent themselves.
That's interesting. Yeah, plenty of people who just won't watch a musical as well.
But things like Sing Street I really loved.
Yeah.
Anyway, Ben Evans has written in. Hello again. Hello, Ben. And he's just written a good film and a bad film. Good film. Chronological Order on Amazon Prime is bloody good. Do you know what I mean when I say it's one of those crisp films? The only other one I can think of like this is Sideways, the kind of film where you feel like you want to experience the same crispness the sound guy has managed to capture, like a still warm evening with the sun on your back. That probably makes no sense. Anyway, it feels like a short film someone forgot to stop writing, but in a very good way. It's also a little bit like Napoleon Dynamite, but without any of Marek's favourite whimsy. I'm only halfway through, but I'm loving it so much. I couldn't wait to send you an email. I hope it continues to be this good, or else I look like a right idiot. I've not heard of Chronological Order.
No, me neither.
But you know what it means about Sideways? Sideways makes you want to go and drink a really nice wine.
My uncle sent me a bottle of wine from the vineyard in Sideways.
Oh, really?
As well. Yeah, yeah.
It just makes you want to drink that. And like when you watch films such as The Third Man and things, that some films make you want to have a cigarette as well.
Yeah, yeah. Chronological order, did you say? Yes. I'm just looking it up now.
Well, should I read the next bit while you look?
Yeah, I love the idea of doing a film review halfway through watching it. That's a great thing.
So the bad film Ben has talked about is Jupiter Ascending. Why is this not called Jupiter Rising? The line in the film is Jupiter Rising, and I'm sure it was called Jupiter Rising when it was in the cinema, but after some googling it turns out it wasn't. I'm only halfway through this one too. but I can't go any further. It's all cast and no script. I almost turned off at one point earlier, but then Sean Bean turned up, so I continued with it a bit further, but even Ned Sharp couldn't save it. It seems like the Lukowskis didn't write this film, but just cut out scripted scenes from other well-known films instead of taking them back into a big, long jumble. Listen, you can't... Thank you, Ben, but you can't just end your halfway films halfway through.
I quite like that. Through. It's funny.
Did you look up chronological order?
Yeah, it sounds really interesting. I mean...
What is it about?
Well, the synopsis sounds potentially a bit spoilery, but a guy without many everyday worries finds a door floating in the ocean and soon suspects he's being followed. He discovers that it is himself that is following him and that the door allows him to travel back in time. I'm not going to read the rest of the synopsis because it's
probably spoilers. That sounds great.
Sounds fucking interesting.
Has it got a good mark on IMDb?
7.1, so it's above 7.
Yeah, above. That's my what I do when I go on Netflix and look for the films. Anything above 7, I'll give that a go.
But do you ever look at how many people have voted for it? Because if it's over 1,000 people and it's above 7, that probably means a little more than if it's 4 people.
And the family have gone.
Yeah.
One more email?
Sure. This is from Alex Hodgson about Santony Hopkins. Dear dog, writer and lumberjack. There, I've written to you. Happy now? On the last episode, you mentioned what a joy it is to watch Santony Hopkins, Stoney to his friends, do some subtle acting in The Remains of the Day. And it reminded me of a more recent and rather excellent film in which he gives another small performance. World's Fastest Indian is an amazing true story, another Film Fandango favourite, about an old New Zealander with a fast old bike and a dream to drive it fucking fast. It's one of those films you'd describe as lovely. Maybe listeners can suggest some more lovely films, but would probably be a straight TV job without Santony's excellence. He carries the film. One for Marek to watch with his mum. Don't know if it's on Netflix or not, as I don't have it. Talking of which, you also mentioned Margin Call, which last time I looked was on BBC iPlayer. How about going on Amazon Prime Special, as I can steal Work's account? But from what I've seen so far, it's entirely filled with fetid turd. Keep watching the films, Alex. P.S. Last time I wrote in, I mentioned how much I enjoyed the Film Fandango subplot of Marek's descent into madness. Just wondering why you've dropped this storyline, as he seemed a lot happier lately.
Oh, right.
Are you happier, do you think? Is that...
Well...
I have to say, you do come in and with less doom and gloom than you used to.
Yeah, I mean, I was having a very bad year last year. I'm glad that my pain has brought people pleasure.
Well, at least, you know, you're telling your story. I mean, that's nice. Influencing people's lives.
I have seen...
Margin Call.
I've seen Margin Call, but I've also seen... I talked about it before, The World's Fastest Indian.
Yes.
The World's Fastest Indian is a film that, over the past 5 years, is always on ITV.
Right.
In the afternoon. It's that perfect... Because it's that perfect mum's film with no swearing in that's quite good. That will sit happily in that spot. And I've seen bits of that. It seems to be a point where every 3 or 4 weeks I turn on the television and the World's Fastest Indian.
I miss out on these things because I just don't watch television anymore.
You know what it used to be? Daryl used to be the one, data analyst.
Oh, robot, yeah, yeah.
That used to be on the safe Saturday afternoon film.
Yeah.
And then Flight the Navigator was on.
Yes.
For about 5 years.
There was think of Window when it was Romancing the Stone.
Yes,
was on a
yes,
lot.
Yeah,
you don't see it anymore, do you?
I love those films. That and Enjoying the Nile. But at the moment, well, maybe up till recently, The World's Fastest Indian has been on. I've watched the whole thing, and I've watched it 10 minute and 20 minute bits of it. I don't know if I think it's amazing, but Santony Hopkins is very good in it.
Santony.
It's just non-offensive. Sometimes that's all you want in life.
It is. That's true. I read a thing this morning. I think it was on Total Film's Twitter feed. Was it this morning?
What are you doing reading other people's
Twitter
feeds?
Well, it's just on my feed, isn't it? But it said Gremlins came out on this day in 1984. I was like, Gremlins is a Christmas film. What's it doing coming out in June?
Was it a release that was after a UK release?
Maybe that's it. Because it was the same day Ghostbusters came out in the States. I know that.
Okay, it might have been late, because we did get the films 3 or 4 months after, didn't
we? There used to be a massive delay, and then a year and a half before they come out on video.
No, it all happened so quick.
So quick, innit? Right, have you been to see a film?
I was speaking to my nan on the phone.
That's not a film.
No, it should be. And then I said I was going to watch a film, an old black and white one, and I was talking about the films that were on Netflix, I think. A film I've never seen, although it has been on television quite a lot, like The World's Fastest Indian,
yep.
Is The African Queen.
Yes, The African Queen's a classic, isn't it? The African Queen being the name of a boat, not a queen.
Yes, I mean, I've seen Casablanca, and not really many other Humphrey Bogart films.
No, me neither. It's
a bit of an enigma for me.
And he looks very different in The African Queen as well, doesn't he? Because he's got that sort of perma-tan.
Yeah, he died 6 years after. So he's towards the end of, I suppose. I've seen The Big Sleep and The Maltese Falcon, but I've never really been enamoured with Humphrey Bogart or understood why he was,
you know, so adored. Yes,
and I think this film was the first time I could see his charm, and I really enjoyed his performance. So what the story is, for those of you who don't know, most of you will, it's in World War One in Africa, and Katharine Hepburn is running a sort of missionary service with her brother, played by Robert Morley, who's quite a distinctive man. He looks a lot. He often plays sort of quite.
Oh yes.
Officious British people. He looks a lot like an egg, but all the best actors do.
They do, don't they?
And the Germans come and take over the area in Africa. I can't remember what it is where they're working, and so they decide to escape the Gulf in his boat. They come up with the idea that they're going to sink the German destroyer that is in the sort of lake or some sort of bay.
Yes.
By weaponizing the
African boat, Queen.
The African Queen, into a sort of torpedo.
Yes.
And it is just two characters in a boat getting lost and encountering various difficulties as they travel towards, try and find where this German destroyer is and try and attack it.
It's interesting you bring up the African Queen, because last week when I was talking about Rambo, I wonder if that was influenced by the African Queen.
Oh, really?
Because he's just a sort of
small
guy,
well,
who runs his own boat, and then he meets a woman, and then they try and take the baddies down because he hasn't been getting involved, and it's her influence that makes him think that maybe he should. Rambo maybe is Sylvester Stallone's remake of The African Queen.
But what the success of this film is, what it's an hour and 45 minutes long. It doesn't feel like that. Of which is most just two people on the boat arguing and chatting. Yes. And the character of the boat. Humphrey Bogart is very charismatic. He's just great. And Katharine Hepburn is great. They're not the traditional leading man and leading lady. They're both quite odd characters. She's a sort of prim and proper missionary, and he's just a sort of quite haggard, smoking, drinking postal delivery bloke on a boat who doesn't really care much about anything.
And he was 52 when he made this.
And apparently everyone was sick reading the making of it. It opens in the missionary, and there's all the sort of tribesmen all trying to sing the hymns.
Yeah.
And Katharine Hepburn's playing the piano. Apparently she had to have a bucket by the piano because she was vomiting so much in the scene. And Humphrey Bogart was one of the only ones who didn't get sick because he drank so much gin out there.
But nothing else could survive in his stomach.
The mosquitoes didn't get him.
That was the way they used to do it. Back in the days of the Empire, is you just need a high enough alcohol content that nothing can survive apart from the human. Interestingly as well, or perhaps not interestingly, depending on your point of view, the German officer in this, who is is played by the German colonel from Hello, Hello.
Oh, really?
Yeah. which is just like, oh, he's had a career of playing...
Oh, Richard Marner, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, playing German officers.
Wow, I wonder if it was related how he got the job.
Or maybe we could argue that The African Queen is a filmed film spin-off of Hello, Hello.
Prequel to Hello, Hello.
Yeah.
Katharine Hepburn, I think Humphrey Bogart won the Best Actor Oscar. Katharine Hepburn was nominated. I think John Huston was nominated for Best Director for it. It's just really good. And I never got around to watching because I thought it was boring. But as I get older, I quite like watching these films where, in my head, I thought this is a really boring traditional film. But the lead characters aren't traditional. They're really interesting and their relationship is really interesting.
You find sort of... Just charisma more entertaining as you get older, I think.
Slower, and nothing had to be huge. It's just them going in a boat across Africa
and the then drums, risking something.
Yeah, yeah. The one day equivalent would be, oh, we have to have some sort of chase, or they're about to die on every single occasion. There's some huge sort of weird snake attacking them. Everything would have to be really big rather than...
And it would have to be to save the world as well at the end. Yeah.
And it's quite soothing. I found it really... I tend to watch a lot of old films because the pace of it is slower and it's more of a relaxing watch. You feel as though even the dialogue's slower, there's not as many cuts in the actual film itself. It's not jumping around so much. And you just generally feel more relaxed watching it. I mean, I sound like an old man, but I just... there's a reason why this is a classic, because it's really enjoyable to watch. So I thoroughly recommend... I gave it 8 Mareks. It's between 8 and 9. It's a really good film. So the next time you see it on TV and you think, oh no, I'm not going to watch that, that's going to be really boring and dull, I think you should give it a watch, because Humphrey Bogart and Katharine Hepburn are both excellent.
Stone cold classics, aren't they?
Yes.
Right, well, that's it for this week. If you'd like to write into us, then please go to filmfandango.com and fill out the form there. And also, we do all of this for free. So if you'd like to donate towards our running costs, then please click the donate button on the same website. And everyone who has, thank you very, very much. We will be back, more than likely, next week.
Fingers crossed.
Keep watching the films.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns. Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.